Good morning. Wormwood and gall. Probably not something that we think about or maybe don't even know the context of. We hear about it in another part of the story that we recite year after year around the crucifixion when Jesus is offered wormwood and gall, or he's offered something that is very bitter and without nutrition, basically. This is the image that's in Lamentations when the person is describing the state of their soul. My homelessness is like tasting wormwood and gall. It's a place in Lamentations when the person is feeling the bitterness of life. And not just a subtle bitterness of not liking something, but a real bitterness. Of feeling an emptiness of the presence of God, of not feeling that reality. And then the lamentation scripture continues, yet I am reminded deep within my soul of God's mercy and love. And we don't always maybe connect that, but when we go to the gospel and Jesus is there and the disciples say, Lord, increase our faith. Wave your hand and make it better. And Jesus says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, which is very tiny, if you have a tiny little amount of faith, then you can say to this bush, get up and leave. Or you can say to the mountain, do this in another place. And then Jesus goes on and he says these sort of strange things, right? He says, if you're a slave, would you expect to sit at the table? Or would you just get back to your work, basically, is what Jesus says. And it's sort of puzzling. I remember every time this gospel comes up, it puzzles me. Because it starts off with this great thing about the mustard seed and faith, and then it sort of says, well, just get back to work. But if you look at it in the full context of what's being said in the other stories around the gospel, the disciples are sort of not getting it. And they keep saying to Jesus and asking different questions. Who can sit at the front place? Who gets to sit in the top table? Who is the greatest among us? Who is better? Is what they're often asking. And so Jesus sees through this question. He says, I can't increase your faith, but if you have a little faith, I can work with that. Actually, it's not me that's going to work with it. It's you that's got to work with it. It's you that's got to work on your faith. It's you that has to remind yourself when you're tasting, as Lamentation says, the bitterness of that gall and wormwood, to remember what God has done for you, what God can do for you, to recall that even in those most difficult times, there's a little morsel, and so much can grow from that. When I was in my early 20s, I went through a phase where I was trying to find a guru or something to sort of help me figure out what I was supposed to be when I grew up. Anybody ever else gone through something like that? Probably not, right? And I was, at the time, I was picking up every possible thing I could read that I thought had some kernel of truth in it. I would talk to people, and they would recommend books. I was reading Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, and a psychologist named Fromm had written a similar book. And I was picking up self-help books and all these other books and reading and reading and reading and trying to find the answer. And I kept thinking that it was somewhere out there. And then I remember picking up something written by the Catholic Workers. This was a group of people that commit themselves to serving the poor in inner city, often mostly young adults. And they would, and I had this newsletter, and I was reading it, and I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I remember the story to this day about Mother Teresa that was in there. And it was about someone who had encountered her work and ministry in Calcutta, India, and was so taken aback and wanted to drop everything they were doing here in the United States and fly to India to go to work, to be in that ministry, because that's where it really is, that's where God is, and wanted to be around the saintly figure. She wasn't quite made a saint yet at the time. And so this person wrote to her, Dear Mother Teresa, I am so fascinated and enthralled and impassioned by the work you can do. I want to give up everything about my life here in the United States. I want to move to India and devote myself to the poor there. And it goes on and on and on about all these things that this person hopes to gain, that she would hope to gain. And then Mother Teresa writes back, and what do you think she says? says, don't come. Find the poor where you are and serve them. That's all she says. Sincerely, Mother Teresa. Not the answer she's looking for. Not the desire, but a mirror and a reflection. I think we often, like the disciples, like the person writing Mother Teresa, are looking for some great wisdom somewhere else. And maybe we find it. A popular way to do that now is to listen to something called a TED Talk. I'm sure some of you have heard that, where you can listen to it on the radio, you can watch it on the internet, you can pick it up on your phone, whatever you want to do. And they're often the wisdom of someone who's done something amazing, and they're really helpful. You can sometimes get incredible insights. And yet what happens after you listen to it, you say, yeah, yeah. What's going on? You know, and it goes away. Maybe more often than not, we do that, and we don't realize the work that comes after that. What does it mean to work on our spiritual life? What does it mean to take a little bit of faith that we might have, that tiny mustard seed portion of faith, and to go into that place and say, God, I'll be faithful, and I'll work from that place. And I'll work in the place that I am, and I'll find that ministry, and I'll find that place to serve, and I'll get at it. And then Jesus tells the story again in the gospel. And at the end of the time, what does the slave say? I did my work. And there's no, and I got a cookie. Right? I didn't get a medal. I think sometimes in our faith, we want to, you know, I remember being told the story that if you're good, God puts a gold crown or a gold star. And then at the end of your life, you count it, and you'll know. And so you better work on getting the gold stars, right? Anybody ever heard that? Different story. And then I was a little puzzled. I was like, what do you have to do to get the stars taken away? That's where I was kind of worried about it as a kid. You know, and that's sort of one way to think about it, but that's not really what the gospel says, that because the grace is already offered. The grace of the cross, the grace of Christ's sacrifice and crucifixion and resurrection is offered to us freely. Our sins are already forgiven. We're already received as a child of God. It's there for us, just right there, if we would move towards God a little bit. And it's not some great reward. It's not, you know, the prize at the end of life, but it's a call to begin our faith journey right in this moment. We're talking about a book by Rowan Williams called Discipleship in our adult forum, and he talks about this in the very, very beginning chapter. He talks about how being a disciple, being a one who learns from Jesus, is to be one that sits at the feet of Jesus to learn and to inwardly digest, to be around. It is not something that happens quickly. There's not one sentence, but it is to let God marinate us, so to speak, to marinate our soul, and that it's a lifelong journey. And that our viewpoints and our understandings will change and adapt, and they will be different, but it is to be willing to work on that faith. I think such a critical spiritual reality to think about. So maybe when we read Lamentations and we hear that story of the bitterness of the wormwood and gall, of that sense of being homeless, of that sense of being without place. And yet, even the person writing that comes to the conclusion, and yet, God's faithfulness, steadfastness is still present. So we can hear that message and know in our own life when we taste the bitterness of the wormwood and the gall, that we can find that morsel of hope. And even if we're not in a place where we're tasting that morsel of faith is right there with us to sustain us and to strengthen us. So maybe the question that comes from these readings or from this understanding is to ask ourselves willingly, do we have the faith of a mustard seed? Just even a small amount. And what can we do to begin working on that? I think we're a lot like the person writing Mother Teresa. We're wanting that place, we're wanting that holiness. And then if we really look at what Mother Teresa did, she committed herself to a community, and she committed herself to serving people who had no dignity. She went out to people who were dying in the streets and offered comfort, solace, and hospice. She gave them comfort, a bed, food, kindness. People who had been cast out and who had been left as if they were trash. So who are we called to serve in that way in our own communities? That's a tough question. Who are we called to reach out to offer people who are only tasting wormwood and gall? How do we offer them that hope, that comfort, that place? I can't answer that for each one of you, but there is something right before us. So, do you have the faith of a mustard seed? And what will you do with it? Amen.